Well, previously we've discussed about the ruh and the soul and the different explanations given, and I think it was on Thursday when we had the last discussion, I shared what Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Ali has written, quoting from Qadi Thanaullah Panipatti Rahmatullah Ali, that's the Tafsir Madhari, and the explanation in brief there was that according to Qadi Thanaullah, there are two types of ruh, two kinds. The higher ulwi and the lower sifli. The higher ruh is not a physical thing. It's bereft of matter. It's a creation of Allah, and only Allah knows what kind of a creation it is. It's difficult for us to comprehend its reality, and that is what the Quranic verse of Surah Banu Israel refers to: "Wama utitu min al-ilmi illa qalila," that you have been granted very little. They say that this higher ruh, its station is located under the arsh and the throne of Allah. And this higher ruh is sensed in 5 degrees at upper and lower levels. This higher ruh is sensed at 5 degrees, in 5 degrees at upper and lower levels. The first is heart, the qalb. The second is ruh, the spirit. The third is mystery, sir. The fourth is secret khafi, and the fifth is most secret akhfa. I explain this. The lower ruh is vapor which emerges from the combination of the four elements of the human body, which is fire, water, dust and air. And we explain that the connection between the higher ruh and the lower ruh can be understood in the connection between, say, the sun and a mirror. When a mirror is held against the sun, the reflection of the sun comes onto the mirror. Even the heat of the sun will come onto the mirror. You can burn a piece of cloth with that mirror. So what happens here is that the lower ruh is connected to the upper ruh in that kind of a way. And then the lower ruh, which we otherwise call the nafs or the self, it first gets connected with the heart muscle of a human. And when it gets connected with the heart muscle of a human, that's when the human becomes alive. That's what we call life. When a soul is breathed into them, into the physical structure of a human. And then it infuses itself into the entire body of a human. It starts flowing circulating through the veins and throughout the body and reaches every part of a human. And that is the ruh, which is then also detached at the time of death, the lower ruh. But it's connected to the higher ruh, the nature of which we've been granted very little knowledge and very little information. Now, to conclude that part, we also explained that although soil or dust or clay, whatever you want to refer to it, is the dominant element in the creation of man, man has been, broadly speaking, created from 10 elements, 5 of which belong to the universe, Alamul Khalq, and 5 that belong to the divine command, Alamul Amr. The 5 that belong to the universe are fire, water, dust, air, and the vapor from which the lower nafs is created. And the 5 that belong to the divine command are what we explained earlier on: the heart, the spirit, that's qalb, ruh, mystery, sir, secret khafi, and totally hidden akhfa. That makes the human then a very unique creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and most deserving of divine vicegerency on earth, because this nature of the creation of man makes man most receptive to the divine attributes and manifestations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The man has the unique ability to accept and absorb the manifestations of divine light. So this entire explanation flowed from the sentence where Allah says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, that I created man from sounding clay, which is made of fetid mud, and after I formed the outer shape of man with this mud, I breathe into him of my spirit. So we explained it does not mean that a man is an incarnation or an embodiment of Allah. It's like the sun saying that I have bestowed my light to the earth. It means that Allah has given us certain qualities that make us unique to understand Allah's manifestation better than any other creation. And we branched off into that discussion on the ruh. Now Allah told the angels, after telling them that I'm with qala rabbuka lil malaika, Allah said to the angels, I am about to create a man from sounding clay, which is made of fetid mud. Once I formed him and breathed into him of my spirit, then فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, fall down before him in prostration. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, they upon the angels prostrated, all of them together, إِلَّا Iblis, except for Iblis, أَبَا أَن يَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ, he refused to be with those who prostrated. Now, Iblis is not from the angels. Iblis is from the jinn. And Allah says here, the angels were instructed to prostrate. So could it mean that Iblis was not initially told to prostrate? Some say initially the angels were told separately, then Iblis was told separately. Others say no, there's no need to go down that route of explanation. Iblis was with the angels. So Iblis was covered in the command of Allah to the angels. Even Iblis himself understood that, because in the next verse Allah says, Ya Iblisu, ma malaka alla takuna ma'as sajidin. That, O Iblis, why is it, or what is it with you that you did not join those who prostrate? His response is not, would be that, oh Allah, you didn't tell me, you told the angels. No, he accepted that he was instructed. But then he gave his own explanation. Lam akun li astud. I am not one to prostrate li basharin, before a human. Khalaqtahu min salsalim min hama'im masnoon. Whom you created from sounding clay made of fetid mud. So Iblis was from the jinn. When the jinn were created, as we explained previously, before man, when they became rebellious, Allah sent the angels to earth to banish them to the seas and to the jungles. They saw Iblis was very pious. They requested Allah to allow them to bring Iblis to the heavens, so his piety could also motivate them. There isn't the equivalent of a handspan in the heavens, except that Iblis prostrated there. The problem was that Iblis was not doing his ibadat sincerely. His ibadat was motivated by an ambition. He wanted Allah, because he was already on earth, he was from the jinn. Now he was taken to the heavens. He wanted Allah to set him back as Allah's deputy, as the vicegerent, as the khalifa on earth. And this is where the problem set in, that, you know, he had pride, he had conceit. Now that Allah announced that I've created this unique creation, man, and man will be my Khalifatullahi fil ard, my vicegerent on earth, Iblis's true colors came to the fore. So Allah said, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. That get out of here, you are cursed. Rajim could mean cursed. Rajim could also refer to what we discussed a few verses earlier on about how the devils get pelted by shooting stars when they try to go and eavesdrop on the discussions of the angels in the heavens. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is alluding to him that you are accursed. Honor comes from Allah. If Allah decided to honor Adam alayhi salam, then that's Allah's prerogative. You ought to have accepted that. Now when you wanted to challenge Allah, you have become dishonored. You become disgraced. Up till the day of Qiyamah, whoever reads Quran will say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That, oh Allah, save me from the accursed devil. And not only that, wa inna alayka la'nata ila yawmiddin. Upon you is curse until the day of reckoning. So Iblis then asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for respite, that prolong my life. Rabbi fandirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Grant me respite till the day the dead are revived. And Allah then acceded to his request. The story in the main is known, but there are certain details that we will pick up, inshallah, as we go along. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.